Tuesday, January 10th, 5-4-3-2-1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. While most of Donald Trump's cabinet picks are for big oil and trade protectionism, they are more business than politician, and theoretically we could benefit from that. By theoretically, I mean it is yet to be determined who they are working for, themselves or the country. Take Carl Icahn, for example, who is director of regulatory reform. He may not be taking a dime in official pay, but he is keeping his business investments, so every regulation he nixes goes cha-ching in his investment account. If he can modify RINs, his refinery saves millions of dollars by not having to comply with the RFS. Then again, I would have liked to have seen businessman Bruce Rastetter as Ag Secretary, but he would have to divest most all of his substantive ag investments, and that is not easy to do or fair to his investors who put money in them because he did. Almost everything he did at USDA would impact his investments in some way. Trump's Secretary of State pick, Exxon CEO Rex Tillerson, is divesting his stock, separating from the company. Maybe Putin will compensate him. When the U.S. put sanctions on Russia for Crimea and Ukraine, subscribers know that I was pretty hard on U.S. businesses who continued to invest in Russia, arguing for divestment and exit. I called out McDonald's and Ford. When Rex looked that situation over, according to the Wall Street Journal, he doubled down on the Exxon investment, seeing it as an opportunity to get a better deal in Russia, which ran afoul of State Department priorities at the time when the U.S. was using sanctions to try to check Russian military intervention in Ukraine, unquote. He got himself a Friend of Russia medal for that. The deal made hundreds of millions of dollars, some of which Exxon contributed to the American Petroleum Institute to fund their disinformation campaign against ethanol, which is in many ways similar to the false news campaign that Russia has been orchestrating here in the United States. Putin and Tillerson are both big oil, and neither of them have any goodwill toward biofuel. Crude oil backed down away from $54 a barrel overhead resistance again. OPEC production limits have more often turned out to be production floors, where every member sees to it that they produce and sell the last barrel allowed. Russia's participation was just manipulation of record-keeping, with no actual impact because compliance on paper will suffice. The U.S. is not a member of OPEC, and the Saudis engineered this price war to shut off tar sands and shale oil production. They were successful on tar sands, but not on shale oil. The cost of production still allows fracking shale oil. Many companies have financial obligations that compel them to keep producing, and the number of new wells has increased for 10 consecutive weeks here. A U.S. destroyer fired warning shots at an Iranian vessel in the Strait of Hormuz, and the oil market didn't care. That was a sign that the supply news is in the market. They bought the rumor of Saudi production restraint, and now they sold the fact. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3-2-1. Mexico reportedly made another corn purchase, getting another purchase on the books before all the fun starts between them and Trump. There is irony in Trump wanting to remove economic sanctions and buddy up to Putin, while he essentially goes to war on Mexico, building his wall and significantly damaging the Mexican economy with an imposition of a new NAFTA. You couldn't call it a renegotiation, as China will have no say. If this goes as he appears to plan it, Russia will be our new friend and Mexico our new enemy. We will see later this week how USDA rewards having hope for a marketing plan. Most farmers now have grain in the bin without some new fundamental revelation or weather event. It will be a waiting game to see which farmers have to sell to get money to operate next spring. There may be a few soybeans being sold, but the worsening basis and lack of carry says that they don't want them. The elevators are still busy moving out grain and absorbing outside corn piles to be too concerned yet about bidding for what is in farmers' bins. The grain dryer is running full blast here in our hometown to dry out corn coming in from the outside pile. One reason why the basis is so bad is they have to pay for that. Some farmers took advantage of the offer from elevators to get 80% of the value for their corn, and the elevator buys them a futures contract and margins it with their money that they keep. That would mean that there are protective stops about 60 to 70 cents down under the corn market on these contracts. Running those stops would be the worst case scenario, wouldn't it? I hate being dependent on hope, but now would not be the time cyclically to give up on it, even if markets go lower. If you've gotten to where you need hope to bail out your marketing plan and already failed, I would not like to be holding large quantities of grain hoping something makes the market better. Maybe the USDA will feel sorry for them. Corn has been trading sideways, helped out by some index fund buying, and soybeans have been holding on a shelf of support. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa, online at comstock.com, or call 712-933-9400.